What's going on, Clipper Nation?
Whew, one round down, couple more to go.
On to the next, buddy. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We're bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great news today. The Clippers move on from the first round in less than seven games.
thank God, the first time
since like 2006, I believe.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to be kicking things off. Yeah, we got it done. Really great Kawhi performance. Really great performance overall. I definitely commend the adjustments made by Doc Rivers.
Absolutely.
But anyways, we got to get into this thing. We got to dive deep.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be kicking this thing off with a recap of the 111-97 win over the Mavs. We're going to start out with kind of what we liked. In the second part, we're going to continue with that recap. Just a few things about, you know, like sort of what we didn't like. Maybe series overall stuff and some stuff that we need to take a look at heading into the next
round.
Some
trends. There's for sure some trends we need to take a look
at. There's definitely some things that can be improved upon. And, you know, we're going to take a look at those. But definitely important to think about. And then we have some shavings. We got some great voicemails. Also, if you didn't know, the playoff line is open all playoffs. Playoff party line. It's always open for the party. What's that number off top again, Chuck?
213-986-7354. Go ahead, leave your voicemails. You can text us too. We probably won't read it on air because texts feel, you know, put on wax.
Yeah. No, we'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear what you think.
It's a fan podcast. You know, we want the fan voices.
We are a fan podcast. And thank you so much to all the fans out there still listening. So all that and more coming up right about now, but I can't forget before we get into it, this is a Built Bar podcast, baby.
Don't forget
to check out BuiltBar.com.
So, the Clippers took care of business against the Mavs, 111-97 to close it out in six games.
Good work.
Happy we're out of this series. I think everybody in Clipper Nation is. There was no Bev in this game. There was no Kristaps, but Beverly did go through his normal kind of pregame shooting routine.
Yes.
Which leads...
It's encouraging, right?
Very encouraging. I think, I mean, I don't know. Part of me, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but part of me thinks that they were like, hey, you know, worst case scenario, we get out. You know, best case scenario, we get out in six games. The Nuggets Jazz series goes seven. We're recording this kind of right before that game starts. So hopefully it goes to seven because that gives a couple extra days of rest. I think Bev's going to be ready for game one of the next series, right?
How about a little tinfoil hat thought for you?
Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Doc knew Pat needed the rest.
Yeah.
Threw a couple games because he knew we would get out of this first round without him.
I'm out.
The extra rest.
I'm out on this theory completely.
That's why he kept throwing Trez at Boban. It was galaxy brain.
No. This theory is wrong. Please don't. But the talk of this game is probably going to be the Marcus Morris ejection.
Oh, I hope not. There's so many other highlights, but...
I agree, but we got to get out of the way.
No,
he was ejected early in the...
No, it was the first.
It was in the first?
Yeah.
There we go. That's good times. Hard foul on Luka. Was it fair or no? So just like the Tim Hardaway Jr. foul, this was a borderline, could have been flagrant too.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. I realized that, you know, Morris definitely has a certain style of play that...
he bounced the ball off a guy's forehead this year.
I know, but I feel like it's the style of play that, like, you love it if he plays for your team.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously hate it if you're the other 29 teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you just said, I mean, Hardaway had a really hard foul on Paul George. It wasn't anywhere near ball.
No,
in my
it was
opinion,
all face.
It was all face, and he grabbed the face in a claw-like motion, and that was not an ejection. So to call this an ejection, I mean, it was undoubtedly a flagrant.
Absolutely.
I love Morris. I love what he's brought to this series. I love the intensity. I don't think he ever tried to step on anyone's ankle. This was, however, a flagrant.
And his reputation, the thing that sucks is his reputation got him tossed, which is unfair.
Yeah, so, I mean, Scott Foster, noted Clippers lover.
God,
of
that
course,
guy sucks.
was asked about this, and he was asked if Morris's reputation tied into the idea of his ejection, and he said, no, it did not.
Yeah, right.
I'm calling BS on.
As Owen Wilson said, yeah, right. If you get that reference, hit us up at Locked On Clippers.
Don't BS a BSer.
But let's get into what we liked, and I'll tell you one thing we really liked. Kawhi Leonard.
Incredible.
Dude, 33-14, 7 assists, 5 steals, a season high, 61% from the field, 5 of 6 for 14 points in the third quarter in a crucial stretch.
Yes.
We started off the third on a 17-3 run.
He was also perfect in the fourth quarter, I believe, 4 of 4.
This was peak Kawhi.
I think he shot. You can look up the stat on Twitter or stats.nba, but I believe he shot north of 70% in the mid range in some areas.
Just unreal. Yeah, Justin Russo at Fly By Night tweeted, I believe it was 75%.
Yes.
In the lower mid range area.
I mean, you know, and it wasn't just obviously the 5 steals or the offensive performance overall, but like defensively he was. This and last game were the most locked in I feel like I've seen Kawhi through entire games.
Yes.
Games.
You know what I mean? He was on Luka for a good part of this game.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, wow, crazy that you put Kawhi on Luka, things go well.
And Luka was on him on the other side.
Yeah. So that, man, we've talked about how kind of Carlisle maybe has, you know, supposedly kind of outcoached Doc, but there was a glaring... I guess oversight on Carlisle's part was that the Mavs were not helping Luka when he was in one-on-one situations with Kawhi, and that was not going well for the Mavs.
Here was the issue, right?
Too deep is the issue.
The depth was an issue. They decided to move away somewhat of doubling up on Kawhi, which...
Hey, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, like, in single coverage, I mean, it was talked about multiple times on the broadcast, shout out to Brian Seaman and Chauncey Billups, but it's very hard to cover a player like that in single coverage, especially, I mean, if you're not a top-tier defender.
Yeah, you just can't stop.
Only person who's really done it one-on-one is
Jeremy Grant, who we might face in the next round. What else do we like in this game, Will?
We were just talking about it for Kawhi, but overall, I thought the team defense on this is what Clippers defense should look like.
Yeah.
If we're going to hang our hat on this identity, this is what it needs to look like. They trapped Luka very effectively, and he did still put up numbers. Don't get me wrong. He still had 38 points, 9 assists, but we did force...
Absurd, yeah.
We did force 5 turnovers, and you know, like we took the ball out of his hands as much as we could. And the thing is, right, like there's some players that there's only so much you're going to be able to do against.
Yes, and he's one of them.
And you know, he's getting to the point where he is one of those guys.
Yes.
But I thought even more important than that was just the communication of everybody around. The rotations look phenomenal. The Mavs, to their credit, I thought they had some of the best damn ball movement they've had all series in this game.
Agreed.
And we were still able to lock it down. We were still able to force them to take some hard, unfavorable shots.
Yep.
So, I loved it. And this to me is, it was just such a relief to have them put together two, what I would consider to be elite, like defensive performances in back-to-back games. It gives me a lot more confidence coming into the next round where, you know, if we're faced up against Utah, we do face another very dangerous backcourt.
I mean, and Denver, too. Denver has a pretty... I mean, they got a guy averaging quite a bit of points.
Yeah.
The rotation's like... Yeah, the ball was moving so quick for the Mavs.
It was. I mean, to be fair, it was...
And that's how they run it. Like, it's not our fault or anything like that.
It was for the Clippers, too. You know, while we did still see some of the stagnant offense that kind of happens where we're watching people, we have 4 players stacked on the weak side, and I truly
kind of checking out what's going on.
I truly don't know where the ball is going in that scenario. There was also some moments of incredible ball movement. So, it's another one of those things that just... It gets the wind in our sails, you know.
Oh, a little Clippers pun there. I like that. Hey. Another thing we liked, man, Zubats. I tweeted this, but he is a butterfly who's emerging from his chrysalis. Farbod, if you're not following Farbod, go give him a follow. He asked Zubats, he said, Doc said you had the playoffs of your life. And Zubats responded, it's not hard to have the playoffs of my life when I've been to the playoffs one time before and I wasn't good. The man is having the best season he might ever have in terms of growth, and I love it.
I also want to call shenanigans on the he wasn't good. It was a nightmare matchup for Zubats, and it was his first trip to the playoffs.
He understands that. What
I'm just saying, he needs to give him.
You're arguing against Zoo right now?
He needs to give himself a little more credit. All right, that's all I'm saying. Okay, he needs to give himself a little more credit.
All right, I got Zubats' uncle over here on the pod with me.
His very proud stepmother.
yeah. Wilhelmina Updike over here. No, Zoo had 15-11. In 33 minutes. The defense looks better when Zoo is out here. The rotation was
great. Surprise, surprise.
The first quarter was a little rough. I think the whole team looked a little sluggish in the first quarter.
I got to agree.
He left Maxi Kleber open for a three. It was like, you could get there a little quicker. But everything else after that, no, Zoo has to play 25-plus minutes in every series from here on out. I've said it since last game, and I agree with it.
Unless he's getting roasted if we end up playing. Well, of course. Unless he's getting roasted if we end up playing the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals.
But the last time he played the Rockets, he went 6-6.
He did have a great game.
And had
a perfect game. We can address that when we come to that bridge. But
what else did we like in this game?
We talked about it a little up top, how the narrative might be somewhat around Morris and his actions throughout the series. But I got to be honest, man. I've loved this guy's contribution since coming into the bubble.
Bro, in 11 minutes, he did a whole hell of a lot. And a lot of people on Clippers Twitter, you can shame yourself, said, oh, going to the seventh game now that Marcus Morris is out. Which, I mean, look, you can think it. Maybe just don't say it.
I said it. I didn't put it down. But
you didn't put it on wax.
He was 4 of 5 from the field in, you know, a little over 10 minutes. So good stuff. Also, Jamichael came back with a great performance. He had, I believe, the best plus minus of any player on the bench. He was plus 20 in 14 minutes. Finished with 7, 5, and 1.
Yeah, he blew out every other. The next closest player on the bench. So Jamichael was plus 20. No one else on the bench was a positive plus minus.
Yes.
So
the second best plus minus on the bench, I believe, was Reggie, which was minus 5.
It was actually Amir Coffey with 0.
Fair enough.
So.
But anyways, it was good to see Jamichael out there. I guess I'm a little bit wondering about where he's kind of fitting into this rotation.
Think, we're going to talk about that, but I agree.
I do think that this was a little bit of an outlier of a series just due to, I mean, Kleba playing minutes at the 5, Kristaps playing minutes at the 5.
The rotation crunch.
And then their second unit center being the largest man in the NBA. It's definitely a little bit of an outlier, but we talked about it up top, but I also loved how Doc stuck with the adjustments.
Yep. We trapped, didn't do as much switching.
Yes.
I'm happy it didn't fall off after the blowout.
I agree. Well, because it was kind of the thing, right, in this series where I thought game 3, we had kind of turned a corner.
Yeah.
You know, we were on the right track, and then game 4 rolled around, and we just pissed all over it. I don't know.
Yeah. Pissed all over our shoes on that one.
Excuse our language.
But it was a good time. I mean, there was a lot of good from this game. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, there was mostly good.
We only lost the first quarter, I'm pretty sure, which, you know, kind of sucked. But we bounced back pretty hard. We're going to be talking about what we didn't like a little bit coming up right after this.
All right. So we're back with part 2 of our recap of that victory over the Mavs. Clips. On to the next.
Yeah, this is kind of a... Should we do kind of grand... Let's do singular things from this game and then kind of grand scheme of things.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
So singularly from this game, PG had a rough game.
Yes.
Like, just no matter how you slice it, these were uneven pieces of bread, if you will. His shooting splits in terms of percentage, one more time, this is out of 100. His shooting splits were 31, 28, and 50.
Yes.
Not good.
Yes.
If the goal is 50, 40, 90, he's a bit off. The defense was good, and the boards and dishes were good. He had 9 boards, 7 assists. That's great. But 7 turnovers, which I know is a William Updike bugaboo.
5 turnovers to only 7 assists? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. 7 turnovers, I think.
No, 5.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. The white wine got to me. I think it's going to get right, though. Like, you know, the one good game he had, it's not a slump buster.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, look, you know, he's still finished with, you know, 15, 9, and 7. Do I think that he's capable of much more than that? Are we going to need him to do much more than that?
Oh, God, yeah.
But, like, yes and yes. I mean, he's definitely capable. I'm just glad that he's, you know, he's getting the mental situation in check. I'm glad that he's got confidence. I love to see him driving more aggressively to the basket, which, I've, you know, we've both said all season.
And we should have seen more in this game.
Yes, definitely.
Honestly, like, just straight up.
So what else we didn't like from this game? We sung Zoo's praises in the last segment, obviously. And I've been talking about this all series, but I just feel like this was a definite series to sort of exploit our efficient post-up play that we've had thus far in the
bubble.
You've
been beating that drum.
I still feel like we didn't feed Zoo enough in the paint. He only had 8 field goal attempts, which is not a knock on him. You know, he was great everywhere. And I do think the team overall was more active in getting the ball moving and getting it into the post on the final pass if there wasn't a great open look from outside.
Here's another thing. Shamet had an elevated attempts in this game, too. He went 3 of 7, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, which, hey, shout out to Landry Shamet, who's done everything you should do if you're Landry Shamet in these past couple games. Do you think there's kind of like that's the trade-off? Like if Shamet's going to get 6 3-pointers, maybe Zoo's overall. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but
I think that's an absolutely great point. So my thing is, it just depends on how those field goal attempts are getting distributed.
For sure.
Right? Like, so if those are transition pull-ups, I kind of think that's garbage, even if we're knocking them
down. I'd
agree
with that,
I don't necessarily think that that's the best shot in most scenarios. Obviously, any Reggie shot that's not a
spot-up three.
A spot-up three, a catch-and-shoot situation.
God damn.
I think should probably go to a post-up or something a little bit more efficient.
That's fair.
I don't know. We just narrowly outscored the Mavs in the paint in this one, 42-40. And I do think no matter what, we have a harder matchup in the paint in the next round.
Yeah, you mean against either Gobert or Jokic?
It's
definitely a harder matchup in the paint. Grand scheme of things, look, the Lou Reggie Trez stuff is a bit of a concern.
So this is going to be an overarching concern for the rest.
Yeah, everyone better strap in for this criticism, because also I tweeted about this under Locked On Clips, at Locked On Clips. We've been kind of on a heat streak lately on that Twitter. It's been pretty fun. Doc talked about wanting to avoid Reggie and Shamet minutes more so than Reggie and Lou minutes. And lo and behold, in this game, we got to see Lou, Reggie, and Sham all share the court with Trez. We had a 20-point lead. A combination of these people came in, and then Boban came in, and we got rocked. Like, other than Reggie hitting... So, Sham is firmly... usurped Reggie in the guard rotation.
So, in my
eyes, when Bev is out, right?
Oh, in the starters, I don't think there's an argument any other way. I truly don't think so. My question is once Pat comes back, what does that second unit backcourt look like?
Because, right, like do we go to 3 guards or like what the hell do we do?
I don't know if we go to 3 guards is the thing, because unless that unit is like firing on all cylinders offensively, I do still worry about the defense. And I would make an argument for you pick 2 max of you definitely pick 2 max of Reggie, Lou, Sham, but.
But where's Trez on your lineup then? Because Trez, to me, is like the 7th guy right now.
Right? So here's the thing, right? Obviously, the offensive usage is how you're going to offset some of Lou and Trez's defensive struggles, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, as these rotations shrink, and we're not, their offensive usage is naturally going to shrink.
Yeah.
Is there time on the floor going to be enough to offset their defensive struggles? Because I'm at a point where I'm starting to question, I truly don't know.
It reacts right now. Yeah, so
Lou obviously gets the most faith in me out of any people on this. I mean, he's got the resume.
He can also do things like pass.
He's got us out of enough corners that he gets the benefit of the doubt from me.
But like, dude, for me, it's like, I mean, the center rotation should be obviously Zoo with the ones. And then I'm putting a five-out lineup ahead of a lineup with Trez at the five.
Currently, from what we've...
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
From what we've seen thus far, I would have to be inclined to agree.
Like, put Trez in, we're trying to demoralize him, all that stuff, but like...
We've had some great success with a front court of Jermichael and Morris. And yeah. You know,
and Jermichael and Zoo. It's like, you can spay it, like, I don't know. It's just there, you know?
I agree. It's just there. And, you know, Trez was great for us all season long. I'm not going to pretend that he wasn't.
No.
But he was definitely getting his legs back under him this series. And the thing
tough
is...
Tough series to do it, too, with Doc's coaching decisions.
Very tough series to do it. And you know what? That's a great point. There were not a lot of opportunities.
He didn't get put
for
in the best
him
position.
To look good. Yeah. We're definitely not down on Trez as a player as a whole, but some other lineups were definitely effective for us through this series. And I think it would be foolish to shy away from that just because of, you know, the old habits.
And that leads into something that maybe we didn't like in this game. Jermichael only getting sub 15 minutes without Marcus Morris being in the game, right?
This one was kind of wild to me.
I think it's offset because Zoo got 30, so I think everyone felt a little better about it, right? But I would have thought, I mean, he was plus 20.
Yeah, but I mean, like, who knows how that efficiency decreases and the plus minus decreases as his minutes increase. But, I mean, 13-14 minutes has to be pretty close to what he's gotten all series.
I think we might see him more in the next series.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just don't know. If it's working, it's working. But I would... So, if we're going to bang our head against a wall about things that are working or not working, I guess right now where I'm at is I'm a little bit more willing to bang my head against the wall with Jermichael than I am with Trez.
Yeah, or with Reggie and Lou minutes, I would say. And then real quick, how are we feeling? Just going into this next round. And also, we can do a... We don't shit talk on this podcast a lot.
Yeah.
We don't. I got a couple things I want to get off my chest.
All right. Well, first, I'm just going to start off with how I'm feeling. I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
I'm feeling great. If you're out there, you should have a good
time. Get hyped.
Yeah, have a good time right now. Don't be afraid. You know, if you want to talk a little something, if you want to fire off a little bit on Twitter, I say go for it.
Championship is still the goal.
Go ahead.
Championship is still the goal. You can still enjoy this win. Kawhi said to enjoy this win.
First step. You still got to take the first step. And you know what? It's fine to celebrate the first step.
Yes. Also, Luka Doncic, you dive too much and your defense is bad. Boom, roasted. Mavs, you played Kristaps when he was hurt, which seems like a horrible decision. Also, boom, roasted.
I believe that's something that needs to be questioned.
That's
for
crazy.
Sure.
This is not like I'm looking out for Mavs fans at this point. That man should not have been playing past game one. You knew he had a torn meniscus,
and he was still. I thought he played so well. Given yeah. If he was playing through some kind of injury, I don't know. I'm really sorry. And also, you tweeted about this too, but like, Luke is great at basketball. He annoys me with every other thing that he does when he is on
it's
the court.
It's so annoying, bro.
If you're out there talking crap about James Harden's game and you're praising Luka,
look in the mirror.
Blocked.
Look in the mirror.
You blocked.
Anyway, shout out to the Clippers. We got the dub. We got some hopefully extra days of rest.
Yes.
We hope everyone in Clipper Nation is having a fantastic time.
We saw some just... I love that we saw positive adjustments and positive change. So it's all good stuff. Yes. It's all good stuff, folks.
And we're probably going to put this out on Sunday night. You know what it is. But I hope everyone has a good time on Sunday night.
Yes.
You
please.
Know? Be hungover
enjoy.
For work tomorrow. Coming up, we got some fan voicemails. There's a couple of topics we're going to talk about. Especially shout out to our local broadcasters, Brian Seaman and Chauncey Billups. But first... Will, okay, so I'm new to eating food. It's mm-hmm. kind of a new thing for me. Mm-hmm. What should I eat?
Just cut the umbilical cord. I hear you.
It's gone.
At 31
it's
years old,
at 31.
It's time.
What do I
it's
get to?
It's time. Look, the thing to do if you're looking for food, if you're looking for sustenance, the best kind you can get, you got to check out Built Bar. They're new and improved. The new Built Bar is even more delicious than the Built Bar before it. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors.
Non-nut.
New bars plus all your old classic flavors that you love. The thing to love about Built Bars is they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy, gal, or whomever wants to indulge. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, which makes them great for the keto diet. They have as much as 19 grams of protein, which is great for you. Great to have in the pocket on a day where you're hungry. Even on a hot day, it gets a little melty, still tasty. And right now, for our listeners, we have a very special promo. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Don't forget to check out BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON.
Hell yeah, we're all fueled up on Built Bars. Got a couple voicemails. We got to give a shout. I mean, we have to give a shout out to Corey DiBiase. Hey, the guy's been giving us voicemails all week. It's great.
Also, yeah, thank you. Great listener. Great Twitter presence. Go ahead, check him out.
Yeah, also, if you want to leave a voicemail, 213-986-7354.
Say it again!
213-986-7354. What does Corey DiBiase have to say?
Hello. Hey, it's Corey DiBiase once again. Great game. We played well. Everything looked well. Kawhi was a monster again. DJ put in some work. You know, Reggie came in with a clutch three-pointer in a row. Everything was looking good. Quick question for you guys. Who do you want in the next round two, Jazz or the Nuggets? To me, I'll take the Jazz because they're not as deep as the Nuggets. I know they just got that big, they got Gobert in the middle with the Jazz. You know, you got Donovan Mitchell. But I think that'd be an easy task to accomplish. I'd rather have the Jazz than the Nuggets because the Nuggets are deep and they can throw a lot of bodies at Kawhi on the wing. So, all right, guys. Great podcast. Keep it going.
Okay.
All right. I mean, first off, glad you're in a great mood. You deserve it.
Everyone should be vibing right now.
Everyone in Clipper Nation deserves it.
He wants the Jazz in the next round. I think, I'm not sure how I feel. Sometimes with Doc's stubbornness at going at large centers, it turns me off of wanting to go against the Jazz. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we've seen Jokic murk us before. So I think I maybe want the Jazz. We're also recording this before the Jazz Nuggets game ends. So forgive us if any of this is inaccurate. But what do you think?
So,
as far as no one can defend Kawhi, because if you have to defend Kawhi, there's still an open space on PG. So I'm not as worried about that because no one can defend our wings, truly.
So if I'm looking at both of these, I do think the Nuggets maybe have a slight advantage in depth. But once again, you know, lineups are shrinking. We're fully in the playoffs. We're deep in the playoffs at this point. The Jazz, I mean, I guess they worry me a little bit more just given the backcourt combination of, I mean, through the bubble, an electrifying scorer in Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, it's been absurd.
And a very crafty vet in Mike Conley. A
lot less pressed than Luka Doncic for some reason.
And Conley, who is someone who has put the Clippers away before. Not to bring up those wounds.
What are you doing, man?
Not to bring up those wounds.
This is a good day so far.
But so I think of the two... I kind of prefer the Nuggets matchup. Their defense is so bad.
And this is new zoo, right? So this is a zoo that Jokic hasn't seen.
Definitely. And also, like, they just have some younger players that have played prominent roles in the rotation through these, through the bubble. So I guess I like them, but I got to be honest. What do you think about this? Will the second round be easier for the Clippers than the first?
No.
No, okay.
And I think that because this whole season has just been disjointed.
That's fair.
And it's just, I think we're going to see a new example of maybe adjustments Doc should make. I think we're going to see, we're going against two good coaches again, you know.
Agreed. Agreed.
There's going to be some more thing. There's going to be a new thing that Clippers fans are going to find something to smash their head against, which is going to be fair. I'm not saying that in a bad way. We're all going to do the same thing. But I think...
You think the second round is harder?
I think it's just as difficult.
So my thing with
It goes to seven games for the Nuggets and Jazz.
My thing with the second round is obviously both these teams, quality teams, great regular seasons.
QTs,
great coaches. But that both of these teams definitely present a harder challenge defensively. Like, I think that they're...
Literally any other team does.
Yeah. But offensively, other than the backcourts that we mentioned, obviously Jokic can be great. You know, Jamal Murray has been incredible. on a consistency basis, I don't see either of these offenses being as dangerous as that Mavs offense.
That's a good call. Agreed.
But, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
Still dangerous, as YG would say.
Still dangerous.
Then we have another message from a random dude who's trying to get ahead of some messaging.
Hey, guys, you knew I had to go ahead and chime in on this game. You know, I think it was a good one by the Clippers, but let's get this out the way first for the morning shows. Let's say Clippers are dirty, and Dallas would have won if Morris didn't hurt his feelings by fouling them hard, which threw off Luka all game. Oh, and somehow LeBron must have influenced this game, so, okay, we got that out the way. Anyway, good win by the Clippers. You know, I knew they can do it, honestly, even with the rotations, which I honestly starting to believe Doc is calling us by putting Trez out there to guard 7'100", Boban. Love that dude, though. But, you know, off to the next one. Going to be looking forward to the playoffs, man. Hopefully this is our year. I mean, 2020 has been hard enough. And just, it's been crazy anyway. I'm going to sound cheesy, but Wakanda forever, man. You got to be safe. Hug your loved ones. Bye.
Hey.
I think it's totally fair. You know, here's the thing. You can interpret the play that you saw from Morris any way that you see fit. I do think that clearly there is a narrative attached to him. Is it earned?
Which is partially his fault. I will say that.
It is partially earned. Yeah.
Literally this year he talked about female tendencies and he bounced the ball off an opponent's face. I hate to say it.
I 100% agree. Once again, we talked about this up top. He's a guy that I think you love if he's on your team. You hate if you're the 29 other teams.
He's a Milos.
Oh man, shout out Milos, the god who should get a ring if the Clippers win a ring. But
Milos Teodosic, come on this podcast, please.
The thing is, I think that he is a certain breed of defender. I still think that calling somebody a dirty player is a very specific stretch. You know, whatever. Also, if Kristaps had played, I don't think that swings the series. I think that Kristaps is great. I think this Mavs team has a lot of things to look forward to. I still think the Clippers put it away. Maybe it takes an extra game. But ultimately, the level of the talent of the Clippers, I don't see the Mavs as being one Kristaps away from matching that level when it's when it's performing
just
as it's supposed to be.
One Kristaps away. That's Carlisle arguing for his job. And then we just have kind of a nice send off from another random dude who's just happy to get the win.
What it do, baby? Let's go. It feels nice to see the Clippers win a series in less than 7 games. Let's keep it up. Let's go, Clipper Nation, baby.
Hey, you're damn right.
You're damn right.
It's, No, it's time to celebrate. This is great.
Time to celebrate.
It's you know, we have no idea what the next series holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But screw it.
Oh, wow.
We're advancing today.
Wow, William the existential update. Then we got another shavings top-up. Look, there was a dust-up over the weekend. There was the players-only meeting.
Yep.
This is a PSA for ourselves and for everyone else out there. Just don't believe any press you hear in the bubble unless a player tweets about it.
I don't want to say don't believe any. Just before you try to run with something as fact, do just make sure that you have two sources.
Absolutely.
And probably, you know, two sources that are the closest situation as possible. Obviously, just in the world right now, we're in a really weird time. Is what's presented to us as fact, or you know what we interpret as fact. So it's always good to dig a little deeper. Certainly, there was some very conflicting takeaways.
It was crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
The players only meeting had a few quote unquote sourced quotes that Pat Bev had a very tense and possibly, you know,
derogatory and inappropriate exchange.
Also with Michelle Roberts, head of the players union, but Jermichael Zoo, who didn't even tweet about the Athletic article about the Clippers, tweeted that this exchange never happened. Terrence Mann, the player representative for the union for the Clippers,
yes,
tweeted this never happened. And two non-Clippers players who were in the meeting tweeted that it never happened. It's rough. The press situation is very odd. I also have seen people on Twitter be like, oh, can the Clippers press coordinate when they're tweeting out when is out? Because everyone kind of tweet. Everyone's getting the same information at the same time.
Agreed.
For your local beat writers and stuff, it's really hard.
Agreed. And you know what? If you see the same thing, Like both.
Just like all of them.
Just like both.
Local, yeah.
Support your local beer writers. Shout out Andrew Greif. Shout out Dan Wyke. Shout out Miriam Swanson.
Miriam Swanson.
Just shout out everybody
Jovan,
covering your team.
Farbod,
oh, Jovan.
Tomer,
how could I even forget
everybody
Jovan.
In the
yes, Tomer.
Like,
everybody.
It's real. But the media situation is odd. Anytime, you know, and our account was guilty of it. I took the tweet and I was like, wow, this is disrespectful. And then it was like, oh, he didn't say this. And I was like, well, I don't know where we're at. That's my bad. Like, the only people who knows what happened during, and again, I feel like I've reiterated this enough, the biggest moment in the history of North American sports.
Oh,
knows
very
what
much
was happening
agreed.
In that
very
window.
Very much agreed.
And finally, we're going to end this podcast. Look, we have to give the biggest of kudos and shout outs to Brian Seaman and Chauncey Billups.
Brian Seaman stepped into the largest shoes.
The biggest
that,
shoe.
That I think you could ever try to step
it's
in.
It's like if the old woman died in the shoe and then you had to be all those kids' parents is what I feel like Brian Seaman did.
The woman who lived in the shoe?
Yeah, she had a bunch of kids in that shoe.
Gotcha.
Brian Seaman came in, stepdadded the hell out of us. We're the Clippers fans.
He's nursing all 16 of them.
He's nursing all of us. No, Brian Seaman and Chauncey Billups were so good in this first round.
So damn good. I always forget. I tend to always forget that the like local broadcast kind of gets phased out as we move to the second round. You know what? I say no.
Also, let's get Brian Seaman a bowl of soup.
Guys, never tried soup?
Okay, so between Brian Seaman and Chauncey Billups, there has been 7 movies watched and 0
bowls
of
not
soup.
Not between them 7 movies watched. That's only to Chauncey.
Okay.
Seaman watches movies.
Yes, Chauncey Billups has seen 7, and Brian Seaman has somehow only had 1 bowl of soup in his life. Let's get this guy a bowl of nice clam chowder, my personal favorite soup.
No, you live in L.A. Get a Tom Kha, you know, maybe get a great ramen.
He needs a bowl of soup.
Maybe
way.
A pho.
Maybe a pho. Forget about it. I just jumped off the building. What you're hearing is from me from the afterlife.
Also, let us know what movies you think Chauncey Billups should watch. Go ahead and send those over to @LockedOnClips or just @M. Who knows?
And let us know what soup Brian Seaman should try for the first time.
Hey, a matzo ball?
That's barely a soup. Balls are doing a lot of heavy work in that scenario.
What do you mean? The fillings are part of a soup.
What about a beef stew?
What about a curry?
Brian Seaman, you want to come over for a bunch of scotch and a beef stew? Get at me. No problem. All right, shavings is closed, right? We're talking about soup at this
point. We're overfilling the shavings store. We apologize. Once again, thank you so much for rocking with us.
Yeah, this is a big episode.
If you enjoy the podcast, please let your friends know. You can go ahead and check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. Please subscribe. It really helps us out. You can also subscribe or check us out on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher.
Yeah.
You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Also, if you like what we're doing, if you don't like what we're doing, go ahead and let us know. You can leave a rating or review. We'll definitely give you a shout out on air, even if you hate us. You know, we'd love to improve. We love to bring the news to everybody out there. This is, you know, easily
the
highlight
podcast. Of my day. We appreciate it.
So, yes, thank you so much.
Tuesday's episode, we're going to have Twitter Tuesday, so send in your questions or voicemails.
Yes.
To @LockedOnClips.
What's the playoff line? One more time.
213-986-7354. We're also going to have some presser vibes and whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank y'all again so much for rocking with us. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.